Welcome everyone to the episode of the Less Student Afraid podcast. Today, Yvette and I are excited. We have another special guest. She is a business consultant with more than 20 years of experience. She's also the founder of the She Can Club, which is a local club here where we live that empowers women every day. So please welcome Hillary Richmond.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm not too familiar with the She Can Club. I think Yvette is a little bit more familiar than I am. But for those that might not know, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your journey, and a little bit about how you got started with the She Can Club?
Yeah, it kind of starts a long time ago, but I will try not to go too far back. So in short, when I was 15 years old, I started working for a company that sold water meters in the plumbing industry. And I like went all in on this business idea, right? I was 15. I graduated high school early. I graduated college in 3 years. Like I was all in on this business. I worked my way through for 15 years with that company. I mean, that's what I thought I wanted to do with my life. I just wanted to like fight the patriarchy and own all the men in the plumbing industry. And, you know, like I was in the warehouse pulling down boxes and just, I was running this company. And then it got sold and it got all taken away from me. And I was like, what's my purpose in life? Like, I thought I was going to be a water meter empire. That was my purpose in life for so many years, like my whole childhood and stuff. So after that, I moved into junk removal, which was also male dominated. And I'm often the only woman in that room. And then the pandemic hit, and that gave me just this amazing opportunity because I was spent so many years sitting at my desk job thinking, I'm made for more. What is my purpose in this life? Like, it's not water meters, it's not junk removal. No matter how good those companies were to me, I know there's more for me. So the pandemic allowed me to like take a step back from that. My stepdad got diagnosed with cancer and died within 58 days, and that like gave me a midlife crisis. Like, okay, I really need to figure out what I'm doing with my life, because they didn't talk about his resume or his bank account balance or his job, you know, like they replaced him within a week. It's just, I was asking myself, am I living for my resume or my eulogy? And I just spent my entire life living for my resume and trying to one up myself every year. So I just took a hard step back and just said, like, I need to just focus on serving this world, because that's all they talked about at his funeral. What can I do to serve this world? Through that, women empowerment was always my passion. Even though I worked in male dominant industries, I just loved like finding that one other woman in the room who, you know, like we could do this. And that was in 2021. I decided I'm going to quit everything and I'm going to figure out what this is. And that's when She Can Club came to me, like a full download of like, I'm just like rapidly typing in my phone, like, this is it. This is what I want to do. My goal was just to plant seeds of possibility in women throughout Sonoma County. So I just wanted them to know it's whatever it is or whatever you want. You're made for more, but your definition of more is different than my definition of more. And maybe that's more time with your kids or more money in your bank account or more self-confidence or whatever that definition is. I want you to know that there's like a room for you. And other women who are feeling the same thing. So She Can Club, just, I want to plant seeds of possibility, whatever that possibility is. And I just started creating diverse types of events, just a variety of events. Our first one just was just a talking support group, and just 25 women sat in a circle and just talked, but there was no plan. It's morphed into like single mom support groups or divorce support group and or bunco night or dance parties or psychic medium group reading, like just so many different things. Because my hope is that if someone sees it, oh, that one speaks to me, then I could get them in the room and then they'll understand what's possible with She Can Club and the community we have. That all led to where we are now. So She Can Club, I don't have membership fees or anything. I just want women to sign up and show up for whatever event speaks to them. And I feel like that's more accessible than having women pay to be part of something if not all events speak to them. We have a house called the Clubhouse, and it's a pink Barbie dream house where I host my meetings in. Most of the time at the Clubhouse, but sometimes also at local businesses around town also to support them. So yeah, that's it.
I saw some pictures of the Clubhouse and I thought it was so cute, all the Barbie themed. I love it.
Yeah. It's also an Airbnb, but She Can Club, it's the obvious choice of how to decorate that house. So everything I do is pink, if you can't tell from my background.
The background, I love it. I love it. That's my daughter's favorite color. She would be if she was here now.
Yeah.
Sorry for your loss. And I feel like a lot of the times, like I literally just went to a couple funerals in the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And it always brings me this scenario of how we see life, right? I feel like sometimes I'm going down crisis in the middle of nowhere, but anxiety does a lot for that to me. But then I go to these events and I'm like, I don't know if I should go to these, because a lot of the time they, I feel like people associate that with dark moments or bad energies. A lot of the beliefs maybe in our culture or the Hispanic culture that I hear is like, oh, you're going to carry the bad energy. That person's dying, so if you're sick, you can't go to these things and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, my family has always been very present in funerals. I've always gone to them since I was little. And thank God nobody around me in my immediate family has passed. But I do see life could go out in a second. We're so fortunate to be here today. And in these moments, like I'm telling you, where there's days I don't want to get up and there's days that I have to fight myself to do things, it just puts another perspective into it. It's like, no, we are blessed to even be alive, to have another day, to have our kids. Like, yes, we say this and yes, we know it, but like, it just takes a second to be like, wait, wait, I have food on the table. I am blessed. I have a house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like you really brought something out of that funeral and it really brought you where you are now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I always say it's like looking back, it was like the worst thing that had ever happened to me. We all have our own version of worst case scenario. And I'm just like pissed, throwing my phone against the wall. Like, why him of all people? Why him? But now looking back, I could be like, it had to be him. Like, there's so many reasons why he had to die. Nothing, my life would not look anything like this if he, I mean, which is really sad. Obviously, I wouldn't wish that upon him in a million years, but it is what it is. And I can only, I just found ways to make good things happen. Like, that was a house that he rented for my husband and I, and he actually died in the living room at the clubhouse. So now we call him the ghost host, and he's there and supporting us, and we just love Rob, and he's like,
oh,
part of the
club. That is so crazy. But I mean, I guess it like, it still brings his presence, right? And his purpose, yeah. Or how you got there.
Yeah, and he's in everything, like, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was your stepdad, but I mean, at the same time, like, sometimes it has to be someone so close to us for it to affect us. Thank God I haven't had that position, but I mean, I'm sorry for your loss, and I don't know how I deal with it when it's somebody in my circle, because I feel like everything that I've learned, like how to deal with trauma, how to like go through healing, is going to fly out the window in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, I don't know. I just, yeah. The closest that I've had somebody pass was my mother-in-law, and my husband like lost it, and I'm like, the healing, the coping mechanisms, I just feel like everything's going to fly out the window in those moments. Yeah. But I mean, it brought you more purpose. It brought you to where you are today. So,
yeah. Yeah. You don't know until you know. And when I was in, I was like, like, I felt guilty for all the times when I didn't react. There's no proper way to react. You can't do anything. There's no helping it. But it like made me flash back to like, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. But like, you know, just, and then keep scrolling, you know, but like, it doesn't. There's nothing you could do. It's
right.
Very, very
I teach it myself. I'm like, how do I properly show, like, because it wasn't my dad, or because I feel like I was never giving enough support. Yes, I did give him a support, but I'm like, I just feel like I don't know if I'm being a hypocrite. How do I help somebody? Because at the moment,
yeah.
I paused. I was like, what do I do? What's the next step? Like, this can't be real. And I was sitting in the funeral just waiting for her to show up, or just waiting for somebody to be like, oh, she's on her way. And it's like so weird. Every single funeral is the same for me. Like, it just doesn't hit me.
Well, through that, I mentioned the psychic medium event. And I know this is like super anti. A lot of people aren't totally open to this, but I wasn't either. I was totally skeptic. And I got on this like FaceTime call with this person. And I was like, I do not believe you. But the second she opened her mouth, I just like started bawling. So I'm like, oh my God. And I think that that's definitely helped my grief journey, because I'm like, he's right here. I have physical proof. She could say, go look in the store, you're going to find this. He says he left this here. I'm like, okay, he's here. So that actually really sped up my grief journey, because I'm like, oh, he didn't actually leave. He's just super powerful now and can give me anything I want. So I'm just going to.
Okay. Okay.
Well, best friends with dead people
that.
Now. It's fine.
I didn't know that aspect of that. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride, but a lot of good things have come from it, because that's the best you can do. I mean, to sit there and grieve forever is not.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong answer, but that's not the path I wanted to take. So.
There's a show on Netflix, and I think his name is Henry, the
psychic. Tyler Henry.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love him. And when he was here locally, I went to the show. And that's kind of what he ended on, was kind of telling everyone, like, your loved ones are right next to you. Like, you can talk to them. Like, please keep talking to them. That's what they want.
Yeah.
They keep remembering them and keep talking to them. So hearing you say that, it's just kind of solidified that for me. And I lost my grandmother, too, which was really important in my life. the most important figure so far that I've lost in my life. And I love to believe that she is right next to me and that I can talk to her whenever I want. And she's not exactly gone, if that, you know.
Yeah. That psychic medium is now my best friend. And I get a psychic on speed dial at all times. It's just so wild. Like, I can't believe I said that, like, can say that, because I never, ever believed in this stuff until that happened. So.
How interesting. I'm like, I'm very religious and hear these stories and I'm like, oh my God, this is going against my faith. But at the same time, it's like, it helps you heal and it helps you. I'm like, maybe that's a piece that I'm missing. My mom's going to kill me for saying that.
But. No. Okay. I understand, because my stepdad was like a very godly man. Like, he was like the youth pastor. No, not the pastor, but like one under that. Like, he was deep in the church. Like, it was, he was very godly. My mom's like, Rob would never agree to this. Don't do this. He doesn't want this. And he's like the most powerful person ever. Like, he's stoked to be out of this. But I don't know. I mean, I've been best friends with her now for 3 years, and I've helped her build her business and watched her heal thousands of people, and nothing bad has ever come out of it. It's not.
I love that.
It's
a white
light.
That.
It's, you know, it's positive and it's healing. And I could see if, like, she's like, oh, this might happen, live in fear for the next 6 months. It's, I don't know. It's just, it's not like that. It's just so positive, and everyone just walks out so happy and like relieved, you know? So.
Really, like you was saying, such a taboo, but I've always kind of thought about it. It's if something good comes out of it, if I don't know, like if I can sense that there's love there, then to me that can't be bad, because it feels, you know, you can feel the love. And like you said, something so positive came out of it for you. And I'm sure a lot of people have had that experience. I think it would be different if they were using their gifts for, I don't know, you know, like you said, to tell you these horrible things or something. But if it's for positivity and all love, I have a hard time wrapping my head around how could that possibly be wrong, you know? Like, I'm like, God gave them these gifts, you know, so it's like they have to be for a purpose. They have to have good behind it.
And I'll, honestly, like, I didn't really believe in anything before this, but like, God is the same thing as just a higher power, as the universe. It's something bigger than yourself that you can believe in. And that gives people hope. And like, I've helped a lot of people because I've given, her name's Janessa, I've given her gift to a lot of people. We, you know, through the Clubhouse events and stuff, and it just changes people's lives really intensely. So that's been a gift through all the events. So.
And how did your upbringing influence your views on community and inclusivity?
I grew up in Rincon Valley. I went to Maria Carrillo High School, and it's like super white, super not diverse at all. And you know, I didn't really think about it. It's not like it's on purpose. That's just what you grow up in. And I didn't even really realize it until, and my workplace was white and they're super racist. And that's when I started realizing, like, oh, that's not okay. Like, these old guys from Colorado, they were sexist and racist in many ways. And so that's when I started opening my eyes to this. And my husband became a high school teacher. And that's when we were like, oh, we're super liberal. Like, we totally shifted our views because we were told something for our whole lives. And they're like, wait, this isn't what the real world looks like. And he's seen this diversity in his classroom. He's like, there's a lot that we were sheltered from. So with that being said, we were like, okay, we want to give our kids the opposite life experience that we had, because we want to expose them to diversity. We're not often the minority in the room. And I mean, we're aware of that, but a lot of people aren't, and they take that for granted. So our kids go to a Spanish immersion school, and they're like, as white can get, like, they're clear, literally. But they're fluent in Spanish. And so they're 6 and 8 years old. And I just always tell them, like, you being bilingual is your superpower. Like, you can do so much good for this world with this superpower that you have. And so through that, we've been able to be part of a different culture than we were raised with and celebrate Dia de los Muertos and stuff like that. That I didn't know what that was until we went to the school. So as an adult, we've just tried to really try to focus on inclusion and diversity and stuff, because that's not really, it just wasn't a topic we were raised with. So through She Can Club, I'm very aware of, like, what the pictures look like. Like, when it's a whole room of blonde girls, I'm very self-conscious of that, actually. And I'll just say that, like, I'm very aware of it. I don't know how to change it, and I'm not going to call it out, but I am very aware of it and how that could look. I know that everyone has different, like, lived life experiences, and somebody may not feel comfortable walking into that room. And while I don't think twice about it, like I would never think twice if there was a minority in the room, that might be the hardest thing that they've ever had to do is walk into that room. And I have to have compassion for that and understanding, and that's their life experience. And through She Can Club, I'm trying to be more aware of that the best I can.
Yeah. No, I think that's beautiful that you purposely enrolled your children in, you know, a school where they could be exposed to different cultures. Yvette and I probably had the opposite experience, right? The school that we went to where we were exposed to a lot of different races. And with my children, we only speak Spanish in the home. I really don't want them to lose their Spanish. With my daughter, it's always been very easy. She speaks Spanish back and she understands everything. With my son, it's so hard because all he wants to do is talk to me in English. Mm-hmm. And if I try, and he'll tell me things like, oh, when I grow up, I'm going to marry a blonde girl and she's not going to speak Spanish, so I'm not going to have to speak Spanish. And I'm like, no. Like, you don't understand. Yeah. Like, you're saying being able to speak two languages is your superpower.
Yeah.
You're going to grow up and you're going to realize you have this amazing gift that not everyone has. And it's going to open so many doors for you. And so I feel like I'm constantly fighting this battle with him. And I don't know how to change it. But it's, I mean, I can't force him, right? I can't literally force him to speak Spanish if he doesn't want to, but I mean, I continue to speak in Spanish to him, so at least hopefully, I don't know, he'll get it that way.
Yeah, that's funny because my daughter, she's bright blonde and she's like, mommy, I want dark skin like her, I want brown hair like her, and I'm just like, that just melts. I love that. I want them to look around. And the other day, my son got made fun of for the color of his skin. And I just had a really blunt conversation with him about racism and how I know that's hard. I don't know if this is a bad thing. I almost like dismissed it. Like, that's the least of the problems you will ever have in your life compared to what that boy's going to have to deal with in his life. Like, I kind of brought that to his, he's eight. So, and he understood. And I just kind of said, like, we're going to just move on from that because that's not really a factor here. I don't really know how to express that to him, but I think it's good for him also, though. Like, I'm glad that he's on this side of it versus the other side of it, obviously.
It's so hard. Like, I was literally just sitting in my thoughts yesterday and I was like, when can we talk about this topic? Because I'm having so much trouble. I have three kids. I have two boys and a girl. All of them spoke Spanish from day one. And then COVID hit. My middle stopped speaking Spanish because he just wanted to watch YouTube all in English. So he learned English on YouTube, everything. He went to school, he was fluent in English, but I still had him do like ELD classes because our language was still Spanish at home. Uh-huh. And so he graduates the program this year, which is not typical at his age. He's 7. And they say that that usually happens until they're like in middle or high school that they become fluent in English. Uh-huh. And so his teachers told him, and I was like, now I'm having the trouble of trying to have him speak Spanish. And we go to Mexico very often because I have my grandma over there and my husband's family all is over there. So it's like him going over there and he's like talking to them in English and they're like, what are you saying? So it's like, this is why I tell you, you got to practice your Spanish, you know? And then he's like, you know, but if I could find somebody here that speaks English, it'll be fine. We'll understand each other. I'm like, okay, that's beyond the fact. So now that he's graduating the English program, I did bring it up at the conference. I was like, hey, I'm just trying to get him to speak more Spanish now. And then everybody's like, if you did great in English, I'm sure you can master your Spanish. And it got him to like see it from another angle. So Myra, maybe talking to the teacher and having them like, hey, you have that superpower, like work on it. And then it's not just coming from mom, because my oldest is like, anything I tell him is opposite. He's fighting me. It's not on the table. This is not important. So if somebody else tells him, I feel like sometimes it helps you. And that's just my point of view. But talking about like racism and things of that nature, like I grew up in a diverse school, elementary, and then in a high school, I did go to Montgomery, which is a little bit more Anglo-Americans and then very smaller minorities. But I mean, I'm thankful I went to that school because I was able to concentrate and go where I wanted to go. And I feel like sometimes the distractions in a Latino-based school, it just depends on the structure of the school too, because I know dual-merge schools have structure and then they're very much on top of everything. Versus I feel like public schools are very, I don't know, right now we're having a lot of problems with schooling. And I went to an event on Friday where it was like trunk or treat, and I'm not seeing any progress in this. I mean, I went last year and it was good. It looked very more diverse. Kids looked like they were doing better. And this year, it does not look that way. So I was very bummed to see that. And I'm like, this is the future we're giving to our kids, and this is not looking good. So at this point, I'm so stuck on where to put my kids, because like I either send them off to feel like they stand out, or I put them in a school where they feel like they can blend in. But then, like, what quality of education am I giving my kids? And then also sports. I have my kids in the Rincon Valley District soccer program. They're doing well. But once my family comes around to the games, it's like we're getting side-eyed and the racism is there. And it's like, oh, it's just uncomfortable. And I tell my brother, because my brother has a kid in the same program, but he has autism. So it's a little bit harder. And he's like, the kids don't want to play with him. Like, he stands out. And I was like, I don't know how we're going to make it better next year. But I told him maybe if we coach the teams, it'll be different, you know?
Yeah.
So that's been my experience lately. I'm like, where do I bring this up? And literally you just came like.
I feel like Windsor, I don't know. We live in Windsor. So I feel like there's a lot of diversity here and it's normal. Like all of our kids, whether because our school is public school, but it's a charter school. So it's either you go to the Spanish immersion charter school or you just go to the regular public school. And they all play the same sports. They're all on the same teams. They all go to the same middle school, high school. Like, they all grow up together here. And so, hopefully, I don't know. We don't go to the other school. So, I don't know what their experiences are. But from my perspective, I feel like we have a really diverse.
I feel like Windsor is really good, though. I have family in Windsor, and I don't hear as much complaints as we do. And yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just the Santa Rosa school districts, or I don't know. I know they're going through a lot of problems. But it's like, the problems are there. What are we going to do about it? This is year, what, like two or three, and we're still down the same path. And these kids are not. I was telling my mom, like, at this point, I don't know if I'm homeschooling or what when these kids get to junior high, because it's not looking good.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband went to Montgomery, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. But lately, it's been all over the news. So it's like, I don't know how good it is at this point.
Yeah.
I think it really just depends on the child, too. My daughter is, I always say it, she's the, you know, the epitome of a first child, right? She excels in everything. She listens when I ask her to do something. You know, she's a perfect angel, right? So I was kind of like that. So, and I went to what was considered at the time the worst high school in Santa Rosa, which was Elsie. I know the reputation's not much better now, but I feel like right now they're equally as, you know, it's pretty bad. But back then, Elsie was really standing out in the terms of, you know, the other high schools were considered a little bit better. And if you went to Elsie, it was like the worst of the worst when I was in high school. And I did really well. I excelled in everything. I graduated top of my class. I graduated with a 4.33 GPA. I did really well. So I knew that about my daughter. I knew she could excel anywhere. I knew no matter where she went, that girl was never going to get in trouble, because that's just her personality. It's who she is. And so I felt comfortable sending her really to any high school. And she's a junior right now, and she's doing great. She has straight A's. My son, he fights back. Everything I say or do, he fights back. And so I do worry with him a little bit more. And I am very conscious of, oh my gosh, thinking about the future and where am I going to send him to high school? Luckily, I don't have to worry, because the school he goes to right now is up to eighth grade, and it's a really small charter school, and I love it. And I'm kind of at the same crossroads with Yvette, where I'm like, do I homeschool this child? Do I get out of Santa Rosa and send him to a school in Warner Park and Windsor and Sebastopol? You know, so I don't know. I'm at the same crossroads. It's hard. It's hard.
And I think, but you care. And so he's going to be on a good path somehow. You're going to fight him tooth and nail, maybe, but you care enough to even be thinking about this right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I know that there's a lot of parents who don't have the capacity to care this much. Like, they literally, they might care, but they're working. Like, they're doing something else. They're distracted. They just don't have the ability to make those decisions, or I don't know. I just try to be super aware of that in everything I do, whether it's the PTA at school, like, we need childcare. We need to, I don't know, just everything. It's every diversity affects everything in what I do these days. So It's always top of mind. It may not look like it 100% from my pictures, but, and I say that with, probably it's very much a self-conscious thing. I had a Latina girl come to an event and she said she invited her friends and they looked at my pictures for like 1 second, said, we're not going to that. And that like crushed me because I don't know what to do different. I don't know. And maybe you guys can give me feedback on that. I don't know how to change my messaging. Is like, everybody's welcome. Like I just try to really put that out there. Like everybody's welcome. But besides calling specific people out to come, that which would be extremely inappropriate, I don't know what the right answer is. So
yeah, I don't know. For me, I'm like, I need to go to one of your events. I just haven't had the time to do it. I'm so busy, but I need to be there in that room. And I just feel like maybe as more people with different backgrounds come around, and they could tag you or somehow collab. I know you did Loteria or Conchita.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Things like that will probably bring more people into the group. Yeah. I just feel like we all need it. We just don't know how. Yeah. Latinos don't know how to network. That's something that we're really all working on. But I feel like a lot of times we don't even know what networking is. Like, we want a party, and if it's in a house, they're like, well, what are we doing in the house? Like, I don't know what their train of thought is.
It is maybe really... Like, I feel like what I do is just, it's not normal for anybody. Like, you're going to just go to someone's house and on these pink couches, there's no alcohol, and you're just going to sit and spill about your life. Like, and that's going to a room of strangers, and people do this. Like, I know it sounds so weird, but I always just get in the room. You'll understand once you're there.
Yeah. No, I feel like we need it. I was telling Myra, sometimes people don't accept that they need the help or that they need the resource. And it's like, I got it, I could do it. And it's like, well, how much can you really pile on your load? Because at one point, you're just going to, like, lose it. Or These are the places to be at because you find resources, you find people. Maybe they can help you do whatever you want to do and not just have the whole load on yourself. You know what I mean?
It also feels good to know that the rest of the room who you've been watching on Instagram thinking that they've got it all together, and that's why you feel so crappy, is you're watching people who have it all together, and you sit in the room like, oh, nobody knows what they're doing. Everyone's feeling this way. Like, it makes you feel a little less.
Yes. Yes. I work from home. I do everything virtually most of the part. So when I go out and network, I'm scared. Like, I've talked to Myra about this. I have like social anxiety, and I'm like, I need to get to this place. But like, how do I overcome? I just do it, obviously. But
yeah,
like, it takes every inch out of me to get there and do it because I'm like, who's staring at me? Like, my hair is not done correctly. Like, I don't know. It's just all these intrusive thoughts, and it's like, why?
Whenever I hear that, I would go, I tell a woman, nobody cares about you because they're too busy thinking about themselves. Like, nobody, everybody's thinking about, that same thing's going through everyone's head. They could care less what you look like or what you're doing because they're so worried about themselves. And that's why, like, even at the clubhouse, I'm just freaking wear sweatpants. I don't dress up. I don't get fancy. Like, I don't. I just don't like it. And that's too much work. Like, that's a barrier to entry if you have to go feel like you have to keep up with the girls next to you. Like, yoga pants and a sweatshirt is totally fine. I could care less what you look like. Just walk through the doors.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for telling me that.
In all of my emails, I say, like, wear whatever makes you cozy, comfortable, and confident. And take off your shoes at the door, so wear cute socks.
All right.
I'm totally down. I would love to say that.
I'm sorry, Myra. I'm driving you there. I know you're scared of
driving. Yeah, you drive me. We're going. We live right there. So we're going together. You know, I've never felt intimidated walking into a room of any group. Like, if it was, you know, a lot of blonde hair, blue eyed, you know, Caucasian women, I've never felt intimidated. And I don't know if it's because of my upbringing and the fact that I went to a school that was so diverse. And I felt like I could easily talk to anyone. I could start a conversation with anyone and that we're going to be fine. Like, we're going to find something that we have in common.
Yeah. And I think that's probably the case, but like in that specific scenario, it's like, I feel sad for those girls because that means they were once in a situation like this and they were not welcomed and did not feel comfortable. So their lived experience is causing them to not step into my room. And that's valid. There's nothing I could say. I'm sure something happened to them to make them feel that way.
I think what you're doing now, just, you know, bringing awareness to it and talking about it, I think that helps too. And it hopefully by listening to this episode, people will feel like they are welcome and they will find friends and people that they can connect with and have a beautiful experience with other women and hopefully erase whatever happened before. Or not erase it, but
overcome that fear, maybe.
And it sounds like you do, like, you balance a lot of work and family and helping your community. So how do you balance it all? How do you balance life and work and family? Because I know Yvette and I struggle with that as well.
So that's a great question. I'm very blessed that my husband's super, super supportive. We've been together for 21 years. We just work together. He's very supportive in the home. We don't do gender norms. So he does all of our cooking and most of our cleaning and all of our laundry and grocery shopping, all that stuff. So he makes my life very easy. And so I like to point that out because it could be so easy to look at my life and be like, she's can do it all. Like, I'll never be able to do what she does because she, like, whatever, I'm never going to be good enough or able to do that. But, like, it's because I have so much freaking help behind the scenes. And I'm so, so privileged and so blessed to have that. I kind of just out myself and throw myself under the bus for not being the best. I'm like, not always the best wife because, like, I'm busy. I have events to go to at night and stuff. And so, cold down the port. And I know that that's not always an option for a lot of women. They have to be home, and whether they don't have a spouse or their spouse is not, does not step up in that way. So I'm very lucky in that way. Supporting others, though, is a good question because with, like, my position in She Can Club and this job that I've created myself for myself of just supporting women, I'm often people's go-to. And so this week specifically, there must be, like, something in the air. I don't know if it's the elections or whatever, but, like, people's lives are just falling apart right now. And it's like pages and pages of text message dumped on me. And that's a lot, like, to compartmentalize for me because I'm just that person for a lot of people. And I'm so blessed to be in that role and to help support them and everything. But it's just a lot. And so I did cry yesterday. I don't often break down from working with people, but, like, it's just a lot. Women are just going through so much. You just never know what people are going through behind the scenes. Like, Instagram, all fake. It's all freaking fake. Because I feel like a really good insight on a lot of women's lives, and it's all fake. So,
all social media, I feel. All social media is fake.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, as She Can Club, in these events, when we do a friendship circle. I've done, like, five maybe. And all that is if you're looking to meet friends and connect with women, come to the house and we're going to sit in a circle and hot seat one person at a time. Tell me about yourself. And you get, like, 5 minutes and you're like, and everyone's like, they're sweating. They're, like, so nervous because that's nerve wracking. But I say, I want at least one of you to cry while you're telling your story tonight, because that means we've created such a vulnerable space that you feel comfortable crying and telling strangers secrets that you wouldn't usually share with the world because everything's so freaking fake on social media. So that's how I try to just support these women, by giving them a space to just actually talk and not just have those surface level, like, playground conversations or school pickup conversations. Like, hi, how are you? I'm good. How are you? You know, and then just move on and cry at home by yourself in your closet. Whether it's at events or just behind the scenes of women that just, they feel that they can trust me. And I just support them, give resources or connect them with people or just let them talk, you know?
Yeah. I want to cry just hearing you just say that right now, because I love that you were so honest and was like, I have a lot of help, you know, and that's how you're able to put on so many hats. And then you were like, oh, I'm such a bad wife. And it's like, that's how society makes us feel, right? Like, we're not good wives if we ask our husband to do basic things. But it's like, no, I think that's how it should be. That's how a partnership should be. And a lot of us, myself included, we don't have that. You know, I love my husband. He is an amazing father. He's an amazing provider. But he, from a very young age, I mean, he said that he grew up in Mexico. He had to start working at the age of six to support his mom and his siblings. So for him, all of his worth is in his work and being a provider. And so if I ever told him something like, I don't feel like you love me because you don't spend time with me, he'd be like, what are you talking about, Myra? Like, I give you everything you want. Ask for it. It's yours. You can have anything you want. You want to go on a trip? Let's go on a trip. Like, he gives us so much. But sometimes it doesn't feel like what we need. And I do often cry in the shower. Like, that's where I feel like I can let down my guard and cry, because I feel like there's so much on my shoulders when I'm having to raise two kids on my own, I have to, you know, I have a job and now I do the podcast. I have to do after school activities and I have to take them to karate and I got to take them to counseling and I got to take them to a dance event. It's just a lot. And a lot of women don't have, and I don't have help from my mom. It's really just me. And so it does feel like a lot. It feels really, really heavy. So I think it's beautiful that you have so much help. I wish everyone had that. I think that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. And to the whole world, they're always like, oh, Myra, you're such a good mom. You're such a good wife. It's like, yeah, I am, but I would like to have some help.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get help. I have my parents, thank God, and they help me a lot with my kids and whenever I can't be. Like, I have three and they're all in soccer, so it's like we divide and conquer because they're all at the same time. And I'm like, who in the world decided to have training the same days, Tuesdays and Thursdays at the same time? With three kids, like, do you guys not see the last name somewhere in the roster? Or, like, what's going on? But anyways, we divide and conquer, and I'm like, I don't know what I would do without them. And, like, for Myra, she has just two, so thank God she'd have more because it would be so much harder. I'm like, I don't know. And so there's times I do get help, and I am blessed when my husband is home to help me do things. But then I'm like, do I say thank you? And it's like, no. If I say thank you, he's going to think it's something outside of, like, what he's supposed to be doing. But then at the same time, it's like, thank you. I am grateful that you helped me. So it's like, how do I acknowledge that I'm grateful, but I don't tell, you know what I mean? Like, I want it to happen, so I don't want to be like, thank you, it's a one-time bye, you know?
My husband gets really worked up over this because he doesn't ever make me feel like, the me saying I'm a bad wife is 100% me saying I'm a bad wife.
Yeah.
He never shames me. He just does it. It's not like, it's not a competition. Like, yeah. It's not even, he doesn't even think twice. That's just what we do in this house. And, but like so many men are, you know, like they want praise for doing one thing or changing, like, aren't you glad I changed the light bulb today? You know, just like, just narcissistic stuff, really. Like, no, just, it doesn't even have to be part of the conversation. Like, you were also a parent. I don't understand. I don't know. I get really worked up over this because I hear there's a lot of women and coming through She Can Club who are like on the brink of divorce or like don't know how to get out. And I'm just like, everyone needs a John. They need to be exposed to what are like a real caring husband looks like, because there's men out there who will. And I'm not saying that about your guys, but like about these men that I'm hearing about. And I'm just like, no, it could get so much better. Like, it could be so much better for your life, you know? So I feel like I might have been blamed for a couple of divorces by now, but it's not my fault. I just empower these women to know, like, yeah, no, you are on the right. Your gut's telling you the right thing here.
You know what boils my blood? When I hear people say, oh, like, the men are, like, babysitting their kids. I'm like, what? You're a dad. Like, how do you babysit your own kids? Like, how does that make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah. But,
definitely. We don't babysit our kids. That we nobody should be babysitting. It's like we're both the parents and we both help out. And yeah, when my husband asked for a third child, I was like, no, like there's no way. I have no help. You don't. Yes, you provide and you're an amazing provider, but you leave the house at 7, and most days I don't see you until 7, 8, 9 sometimes. Oh, so it's like it's all me. And yeah, so I just like I really had to put my foot down and be like, we're not having a third child. It's not happening. I can't spread myself any more thin than I'm already spread.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So in your coaching, in your strategic coaching for small businesses, what are the biggest challenges you see entrepreneurs facing, especially women? I think you're talking a little bit about that now, but how do you help them overcome those obstacles?
Yeah, so I started doing business coaching a couple years into She Can Club because I didn't want people thinking She Can Club was a business networking, but like that's really all I want to talk about all day is growing your business. I could talk about that for literally days. The biggest obstacle I see is women having to battle their spouses to have them believe that what their like entrepreneurial idea is like a real idea. It's not like some little fun side hobby that they want to start. Like they're like, no, I want to seriously start this business. And so I need to empower them. And sometimes they're coming to me without telling them so that they can have a full game plan strategy of how they're going to present this to their husband so that they can put some money into this new business or sign up for something that's cheap as Squarespace. You know, like these expenses add up to start a business and they need to have a full plan to have their spouse take them seriously when they present it to them. I mean, that's a couple scenarios, but it's either that or self-confidence that they don't think they can do it, or they're looking around the internet and like, I can't do what she does. And so I just break it down into simple steps for them. It's like, if you just start here and then the next step and then the next step, like, let's look at the whole game plan and just break it up into small attainable chunks. I just love walking women through the process, whether they're like, Hillary, I want to do something. My kids are in TK now. I don't know what I want for my life. I'm like, let's sit down and just brainstorm and figure out what your career is going to be. And then we'll go from there and build it. Women hold themselves back a lot. And I do too. But that's what I want to try to pull possibility out of women and show them what they can do with their lives.
I love that. I see you posting things all the time. And when you're helping them create different businesses or helping your friends, I know one of the old mom walks is your friend, right?
Yeah.
And I saw you recreate a group and different change the name and help her with that. And I was like, that's so awesome. But when I saw the IG, I was like, I'm following a group that I don't even know who it is. And then when I clicked it, I was like, oh, I know who this is.
Yeah.
I love that.
I already had some Instagram handles secured on the back end. So I was like, oh, you can have one of my extra handles that I hoard.
I love that.
Yeah.
I wish I would have known about your club when I was going through, you know, my midlife crisis of not knowing what to do with my life, you know, and I was kind of in that same crossroad. Like you said, like both my kids were in school. I do work. I work from home. So I have a little bit of flexibility and I just needed to really figure out what I wanted to do with my life. So I would have loved a space to know about a space like the one that you've created.
Yeah.
At that time, it would have been a really big support for sure.
Yeah. And I'm definitely creating a space that I wish I had too. You know, when I was sat there and I was hiring business coaches and like falling for these 12-month programs online, paying for so much freaking money. You know, like I once paid $500 per half hour session with this business coach. I'm like, oh, he has this many followers. So therefore I'm going to figure it out then, you know, and, or sign up for a year long $10,000 coaching program. Just like when I went into this before She Can Club, I literally went, what could I do that's the opposite of what everyone's doing online? Like, everyone's doing high ticket online code offers. I'm like, I want to do low ticket in-person offers and just do the complete opposite, because I'm so sick of that culture telling you have to pay a ton of money in order to be successful or learn a signature service or something. Like, you can just start with the basics and I'm going to teach you. I hate when women spend money on things. So like, let's do this as free and cheap as possible. Because it doesn't have to be this hard, you know?
Yeah. I agree. That's beautiful. That's beautiful that you created a space that you wish you had. And I hope more people hear about it and learn about it. I'm learning so much from it just now. So I just really appreciate that. And I appreciate you doing it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for this opportunity to just share. It's been 3 years. We've had, I think I looked the other day, 550 tickets sold to our event, but there's like thousands of women in Sonoma County who don't know about this, you know?
Yeah.
So short of putting some paid ads behind it just to get it in front of women, I just need to word of mouth and just continue sharing. I can only have so many people at my events anyway, like 12 people put at the clubhouse. So, but either way, like there's women struggling. There's women sitting at home right now, not wishing they had a community. And I'm like, oh, we're right here, you know? So I appreciate you guys helping me with that, helping me spread the word.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. And what made you make it a Barbie themed, the Airbnb? Where did the Barbie theme come from?
I just love pink. I just love everything pink. Ever since I saw Legally Blonde when I was like in sixth grade, I walked out of that movie theater. My life was changed. I had a chihuahua. Yeah. I had, you know, like all the pink, but I'm not like that girly. Like I don't wear high heels or dresses, but I'm like, everything else is pink. And my husband, the rule in our house is if it comes in pink, you own the pink. So everything he has is pink. And it was just a no-brainer. My husband's all into it too, so it was the only choice, really.
That is such a good movie, right? The Legally Blonde, that was the best movie. I love it.
Yeah.
I still watch it all the time with my kids, like at least 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to my daughter being old enough to watch it and understand it. But the Barbie movie was pretty good too. So.
Oh yeah, the new one that just came out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've been collaborating with more diverse colleagues and working to create events that bring in women from all backgrounds. I think we talked about this a little bit too, but why is it important for you to cultivate such diversity in the She Can Club?
When I started, like I never wanted it to be the Hillary Show. And so although people associate me with She Can Club, my goal was for it not to be like the Hillary Richards Club. And up until the clubhouse came along, and by default, I'm the one leading the conversation. I never put myself on the stage. Like, I was never the keynote. I wasn't the one leading the vision board parties. I'd bring other people in and have them share their stories because I just didn't want to be the star of the show. And that was always really important to me because I wanted it to feel like a full community of all the women coming together and not just everyone praise me, look at me. So that's been like from day one, one of my core values. And I honestly don't love the public speaking aspect anyway, and I don't like attention. So if I can just like become an event planner and put other people on my stage and they can share their story, that's an ideal situation for me.
I love that. I feel like maybe with my social anxiety, that's probably that's something I need to do, put somebody else in the front and then have me just run the business. But
yeah,
it's all part of the process of learning and, you know, seeing what works best. But
yeah.
So you've been very open about your journey and struggles that you have faced. What keeps you grounded and motivated to continue your work?
I just know that this is everything I ever dreamed of. I can't believe it actually exists. And every single day I'm like, I cannot believe I'm not still sitting at that desk thinking I made for more. It's been 4 years now. And so there's months where you see me like go dark on social media. Like, I haven't posted on stories and since last Monday because I'm just like, I'm going through it behind the scenes. And so it's hard to stay motivated. It's hard to come back from that. Or like, if I don't sell an event, I'm like, no one wants to do it. No one's coming. I'm over it. You know, like, I need to do something else. And so I have that negative self-talk sometimes. But in the end, like, I'm looking at a board right now with all the post-it notes of women who have ever signed up for my events. And I keep post-it notes for them. So like, this is their names.
I love that. That'll bring you out of the rut.
Yeah. Like, people have best friends now because of who I've connected them to. And like, they've divorced their husbands and they've started new careers. And like, so many good things have come out of it. So I just have to keep going, just post to the next event and just know that it's all happening for a reason. Could be.
I think it's just, like you said, I don't think enough people know about it. I can think of so many women off the top of my head that would benefit from something like this. Like I said, even myself, but I never knew about it. But I really do think that it would help so many people, and definitely do not give up. Like, you are changing lives for sure. I mean, you are, I can't wait to go to an event. I'm so excited to go to an event, and I can't wait to tell all my friends and family about this, you know, because it's life-changing. It really is for women, myself included, you know. It's just to know that there's a group of people that are struggling the way that you are struggling, and you can find friends and support. I can't wait to meet more people that like me.
Yeah. And I always tell women, like, I don't want them to have to pay me to have friends. I want you guys to come. It may take a couple sessions to find that one person, especially at the friendship circles, because they're there to meet women. I don't want them to have to sign up for an event every single time they want to hang out with friends. Like, I would love to just connect you after every event. I usually try to do an Instagram group chat so everyone could follow each other. Go be friends. You don't have to pay me to go to Sheet Cake Club just to have friends. Like, I would love for you to continue coming, but that's my goal. I can only have 12 people in that room, so my goal is connect outside of this.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to a woman today that's kind of struggling and doesn't really know what to do with their life? I mean, I think you kind of touched on it, but you know, they're lost and they don't know where to start. What would be the first step in the right direction?
Yeah, I think stepping out of your comfort zone in the context of She Can Club is just get through yourself through that door. Because there's so many women that come to the events and they're like, man, I've been watching you for so long. I wish I came sooner now that I know what it's like. And she's like, that's a good and bad thing. That means there's still so many more women I can reach because there's women watching. They just haven't taken a step. I'm like, but you've missed out on so much opportunity. So in any context, just whether it's a business networking event, you might meet that one person who can change your life, or just nothing changes if nothing changes. So if you just continue sitting there doom scrolling all night, nothing's going to change, you know, and that's so much easier said than done. But just stepping out of your comfort zone and finding your people, I guess, would be my first step.
That's great advice, especially on this podcast, because I think we try to talk about that a lot, how important it really is to get over your fears and get over things that are holding you back. And like you said, a lot of the times it's ourselves. It's, you know, it was me for a really long time holding myself back. And I'm sure that a lot of women are holding themselves back as well. You know, we are our own worst enemy most of the time. But if we can just take one, you know, just do one thing different, to change one little thing, and you'll realize that maybe that fear isn't as scary as you thought it was going to be.
Even if it's, you don't even have to walk through the doors, just DM somebody who you might think you can relate with on Instagram. Like, that's how I've met so many of my close friends. They just slid into my DMs. I'm like, okay, let's be friends. I literally say, do you want to be friends? And I'm like, okay, we're officially friends now.
So I'm always so scared to do that. I don't know why. I'm like, I don't know them in person. Why am I going to message them? But I guess I got to get over my fear, you know?
Yeah. Do you follow Homes with Mariana?
No.
That's how we met. Like, before okay. She Hate Club ever existed, she just slid into my DMs, and she was another entrepreneur in Sonoma County. I'm just like, yeah, let's be friends. Okay.
I love that. Okay. Well, maybe I'll take your advice and take that. See where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. Recently, maybe like last year, there was this really cute, gorgeous mom that would pick up her children at the same time that I would pick up my kids. And my son really liked her son. So I was kind of like trying to start a conversation so that maybe we could, you know, like get little play dates or stuff like that. But I was intimidated because she's such a beautiful girl. And I love beautiful women, but sometimes it can be a little intimidating, right? And I, for a long time, but finally I got the courage, and she turned out now to be one of, you know, my really good friends. We both love books. And her name just happens to be Selena, which is Selena Quintanilla is my idol. So I just thought that when I knew her name, I was like, it's meant to be. Like, we're meant to be friends. And I think I told her, I was like, we are meant to be friends. Like, you don't understand. Like, just your name tells me we need to be friends. And she kind of was the one that inspired me to start reading again. And then I feel like once I started reading again, I kind of started dreaming again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, like, my mind started working. Like, okay, like, I am meant for something bigger. Like, I can dream and it can be big, and that's okay. I dreamt about the podcast. I really wanted to do the podcast. And it was just like one, like I said, I have to just take one little step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly everything just started coming together.
Yeah. Yeah, podcasts and books will do that to you. That's when, like, your mind really gets open. Like, oh, there's more to life than this.
Is there anything that you would like to tell us about yourself or the She Can Club or anything in general that maybe we didn't ask you or you just want to share with everyone?
If you guys could just share, if anyone listening to this knows of someone or it's themselves, just at least follow on social, on Insta, She Can Club. Just follow anywhere, mainly Instagram. And just be a silent stalker and just watch. And someday, that's where I'm planting seeds of possibility. Like, someday something's going to speak to you and then you could come or bring a friend. Although I do want to share that I encourage you to come alone, because I don't like when existing friendships are in the room, because they tend to get, I don't like clicky. If my friends are in the room, because I've made them through She Can Club, it's like a number one rule. This is not a click. We don't talk about, oh, remember that when that happened? And there's like a girl sitting on the couch on the opposite side, like not knowing what they're talking about. Like, the friends I invite into the room are friends who know if there's someone sitting alone, you talk to them. And so it's just super opposite clicky. So I don't love when a group of girls come together, because that, then people don't get vulnerable. You know, like, I really encourage people to come alone. Like, if you guys want to come together, that's, you know what I mean? Like, but like,
I literally was telling Myra this, like, when I go to events, I have to bring someone with me or my social anxiety is out the roof, but I still go by myself. But I do feel like when I go by myself and I find someone I can talk to and they're relatable, because sometimes they're really, I don't know, dismissive or they, again, clicky, they only go with the people they already know. So it's like, how do I talk? Like, I just feel like that awkward girl on the couch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, no, it's like, so that's,
I know what that is.
I hate networking events. I hate feeling that way. I also would never go into a networking event alone where I didn't know that the person running it cared that much. But like, we did a vision board party at Epicenter with 75 women. And I started a group chat before that on Instagram with maybe 15 of girls who had been at She Can Club. I'm like, you guys know the vibe. Please don't let anybody sit alone. Go find a new friend. Like, I need your guys' help, because I can't help talk to everybody tonight. I need your guys' help. So I'm like super aware of that. And I would hate for a woman. Well, actually, it just doesn't happen. I hope. as far as I'm aware, at the clubhouse, that no one has ever felt that way. Okay. So I want people to know that, like, yes, super awkward walking in, but every single person there is standing there in the kitchen alone, and it gets going, and then you're like, oh, this is great. We're hugging and we're crying and we're friends on Instagram now. So.
Well, I'm definitely going to follow. I think I already am following the She Can Club, but if not, I'm definitely going to follow, and I'm going to check it regularly because I want to find an event that I can go to for sure after this.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.
And the last question, or there's two questions that we like to end all of our episodes with when we have guests on. And the first one is, what's the worst advice you've ever received? And then what's the best advice you've ever received?
Okay, worst advice is when people try to tell me don't do something because, like, what are they going to think? Or, like, you don't want to piss someone off. I'm like, screw that. Because when I'm vulnerable and open about things, that's when I can connect to people the most. And so I hate when people try to silence me out of their fear, their own self-conscious fear of it, of someone not liking me because of something I said. So I don't like that advice at all. And the best advice is, I've made stickers out of this, is what's the best that can happen. So if you just ask yourself that instead of what's the worst can happen, what's the best that can happen? Like, go into every setting with that mindset.
Oh my gosh, I am mind blown. I've never thought about that, because everyone tells you when you ask them, like, I remember I was asking somebody recently, like, oh, I really want to ask this person to come on the podcast. I think they'd be great. And literally her response was, what's the worst that can happen? You know, but now I'm like, no, you're right. It should be what's the best that could happen, because then you're already kind of, I don't know, being optimistic about it or kind of manifesting that it's going to go great.
Yeah. So I have, like, this one doesn't have it, but usually all my other Stanleys and my friends' computers
have sticker. Mine. Where's that sticker?
I'll send it to you. What's the best that can happen?
We're going to go to your event. We're going to go get a sticker.
Okay. Sounds good.
I need that sticker in my life. I'm going to say that from now on. If somebody asks me a question, I'm like, what's the best thing that can happen?
Yeah. Just do it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. I'm totally mind blown.
Good.
Well, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. And we're blown away with all your knowledge. And I can't wait to be in the clubhouse with you and learn about all the resources that you have and the knowledge and processes that you have to share with everyone.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. I love talking to you. I'm looking forward to this.
Thank you so much, Hillary. You have made such an impact in my life just from this 1 hour conversation. So thank you so much. I know it's going to help a lot of people. And I can't wait to tell everyone about it. So thank you for coming on here.
Thank you so much. Well, I look forward to meeting you in person soon.
Same, same.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys for tuning in. And if you have any questions for us, go ahead and leave them in here. Otherwise, we'll share Hillary's information down below. And have a great afternoon, guys. Bye.